Good News Book by John, chapter 3, 16 through 21. Before we read, let's pray. Lord, we ask you to open our hearts and minds as we read this and as we listen to Crystal's message and be able to gain a deeper understanding of familiar words, maybe, but powerful words, and help us put them into action in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
Jim is really tall. First of all, I just have to say, disregard the sermon title in your bulletin. Martha wasn't here past the beginning of the week, and it was a little bit of a busy week, so my sermon wasn't done in time, and I just gave her a title, and it doesn't fit at all. My title is maybe Gifts, or Open the Gift, or The Greatest Gift, something like that. Maybe you've heard of the book or concept of love languages. This is a theory that there are five primary ways we give and receive love, and that each person resonates with one or two of those ways more so than the others. They call it your love language. The five languages are quality time, acts of service, physical touch, words of affirmation, and gifts. Personally, I don't really go in with this theory since I think we need all five. So you can take it or leave it. But this is the season of gift giving, and in the best cases, our gifts express love for the person we're giving to or the love the giver has for us. In our house, it's just me and Al. So you might think that our Christmas tree looks relatively bare on Christmas morning. Not so. I love presents. Al knows it. My kids know it. And there are often a few others who kindly give us things at this time of year. So our tree and stockings were full to overflowing. And I noticed this year that there are different ways that you can treat the gifts that you get. First of all, you can return it. Retail stores report that 70% of the business they do on December 26th is dealing with returns and exchanges. Did I get that right? Was it 70%? Yeah. It's become such a big expense that some are starting to charge customers for their service. But what are you going to do? If it doesn't fit, if it doesn't suit you for some reason, you take it back to the store. You can set it down, like I did with something I was given, and lost it. I either set it down in a really odd place so I can't find it, or someone inadvertently took it when they left our house after dinner. I just cannot imagine what else happened to that gift. You can put it away for later. I got some cookies in my stocking this year. They look delicious, but you can only eat so many cookies, and we had already baked some for our Christmas dinner and snacking, so I put them in the freezer for later. I appreciate them and will definitely enjoy them, but I just can't use them right now. And I have one friend who doesn't like gifts at all and just says, "Don't give me any gifts." I don't think she'd actually refuse something if you gave it to her. But her family and friends just know she doesn't enjoy giving and receiving gifts in the conventional way. The best gifts are given with love. And actually, love language is not a bad way to express it because gifts say something. A gift given from someone's trip or a special event says, "I missed you." A care package says, "I want to help. I hope you feel better. Mainly, I think a good gift says, I was thinking of you. And the best gifts say, I know you. I mean, any gift can convey care and thoughtfulness, but when someone knows what you like and gets you just the right thing, that is the best. Sometimes it's something we didn't even know we wanted or needed, but it's just the perfect thing. And again, it tells us we were seen and thought of with kindness. And when you get a gift like that, you don't return it or set it down to be lost or used later. You receive it with joy and gratitude, and you put it to use. You hang up the artwork. You play the game, eat the food, use the tool or supplies or whatever is appropriate. You thank the person. You show it off to people. And it just feels good to be thought of and known so well. Well, you probably know where this is going. God gave us a gift at Christmas. He gave us his son, and he gave him because he loves us. God so loved the world. And he doesn't just love us, he so loves us. And he doesn't just love some of us, he loves the world. God's love is wide and high and long and deep, and everyone can receive it. It's unfailing, unending love. No one needs to be excluded because there isn't enough. It reminds me of a children's book where the boy is sitting on his mother's lap, and soon he brings a doll and a toy boat and then a stuffed animal. And finally, the baby sister starts crying. I don't quite remember the book, but I kind of think the boy thought there wasn't any more room on mommy's lap. But of course, mother knows better, and everyone gets cuddled and loved. God's lap is big enough for the world. There is room for you. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Jesus is a gift and a gift of love. Not an obligation, not something we earned or expected. Pure gift and a costly one. My friend who doesn't like gifts clarified, I don't like purchased gifts. So I guess handmade, home-cooked, or found things are okay. And of course, there are gifts of self that are welcome too. Gifts of time, service, shoveling snow, listening, praying together. Well, God gave a gift of self. He didn't purchase Jesus, and he didn't make him. Jesus is begotten, not made. That is, he comes straight out of God. He is God, as John asserts in the first chapter of his gospel. And in order to be given to the world, Jesus left his glory and some of the attributes of godness behind. He humbled himself, becoming truly human, relying totally on the Holy Spirit for all that he needed to know and do here. He didn't have to do it, but he wanted to make the sacrifice for us, that the life he lived with God would become our life too. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life is knowing God and the Son whom he sent. This is why Jesus came, to be God in the flesh, walking among us and showing us a new way of life that is truly the good life. And by trusting in him, his words, and his sacrifice on the cross, we both learn and are empowered to live life the way he did, with utter faith that God is a good Father who takes care of us. That makes us self-giving, not easily angered or anxious or prone to violence, not greedy or hoarding God's good gifts. A life of peace and patience and kindness and all the other fruit of the Spirit is available to us as we believe in Jesus Christ. John sets out a stark contrast between those who believe and those who don't believe. One perishes and the other lives. One is not condemned, the other stands condemned already. One stays in the darkness while the other is happy to come into the light. One's deeds are evil, the others are consistent with what is true. When he says that those who don't believe stand condemned already, it isn't that God has decided that they are bad and deserve punishment. It is that they have made a choice to continue in their own way, living life as if they have all the right answers, as if they were in charge, instead of learning Jesus' way. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. However, there's a bit of a paradox or some tension here, because salvation and judgment are two sides of the same coin. There's both. Jesus is a gift that for some will mean they live their best life here, and when they die, continue that life with the Lord. But others who live distant from God here will be condemned to always be far from God. There is the matter of choosing to believe or not. Christ died for people, but that does not automatically bring salvation. No one is saved without believing. Some are condemned because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. The name in the Bible means more than a convenient label by which to call someone. It really indicates the whole person, their nature, values, their being. And believing is more than merely saying the words, "I believe in Jesus," or intellectually assenting to the fact that he is the Son of God. Believing in the name of God's Son means that you have a settled trust in who he is and what he taught is right and good, and then you live according to that faith. Do you want to live with less anger? Can you imagine not being anxious about what's going to happen to you? What would it be like if you knew you would be provided for and didn't have to climb over other people while going for the top in wealth or status or power? Would you like your character to be more loving, joyful, or faithful? These things are actually attainable, as attested to by many faithful followers of Jesus. They are those who have taken him at his word, lived by it, and found him to be faithful in transforming their lives from the inside out. Believing in Jesus Christ is the first step toward having that life. In his gospel, John equates the life of Jesus with light. Light came into the world that was full of darkness. It came in quietly, in obscurity. And although there was that bit of fanfare on the night when the angels came to the shepherds, all in all, the gift was given without a big show, without recognition. But what a difference it made. The world has not been the same ever since. At Christmas time, there are memes and mugs and pins that say, "Believe." And there's usually a picture of Santa Claus in his sleigh or something. It's charming and kind of nostalgic, but it's kind of funny because I guess you're supposed to know what to believe. And actually, it could be an opening for you to share the gospel with someone. If you see them wearing that word on a shirt or posting it on social media, you could ask them what they're believing in and share your story about believing in Jesus and how he gives us the truly good life. Or, minus the Santa picture, it's just a good reminder to Christians to open this precious gift that God gave us on the first Christmas, to receive Jesus and his life and light and love again. And as the carol says, let him be born in us today. You know how sometimes you think so highly of someone, you just want to give them a gift. There's an impulse coming from love that you want to give them something you made, or you search for just the right thing, and you have as much anticipation and excitement about giving the gift as you hope they'll have in receiving it. We already know God is joyful, as he always sees the very good world that he created. But imagine his absolute joy in giving such a wonderful gift and anticipating the response he'll get from the people who receive it. Not that they'll give something back in return, but they'll be so happy to have it, and they'll be grateful and love him. That's the hope. God gave his most precious, most thoughtful gift while we were sinners. He knew our need and gave just the right thing at the right moment. But what if he gave this special, perfect gift and the recipients don't open it? Or they just toss it aside or refuse to enjoy it? A gift has to be received and used for its intended purpose, or it does you no good, and it breaks the giver's heart. I'm sure you've had times that you gave a gift hoping for a particular response, and instead of delight, you saw disappointment or indifference in their expression. Or they were careless with it rather than cherishing it. If you remember that feeling, you feel something like what God feels when people disregard the gift of his Son. It's a little ironic that our Christmas celebrations are so big, so much activity, so much money spent, so much focus on the day, and yet the real focus of it, Jesus' birthday, goes largely unnoticed by most of our society. I wonder how God feels about that. So what will you do with the gift? Will you refuse it because it's not what you want? Or do you disregard the giver, not knowing that he loves you so much? Will you carelessly set it aside where it gets forgotten or lost? Will you put it away, not making use of it now, but thinking you'll come back to it some other time? Or will you take it from God, your Father, with joy and wonder? Open it, look at it from all directions, cherish it and keep it. Will you use it right now, not waiting for a better time, a less busy time, sometime when you think you might need it more? Use it not in the sense that we can use Jesus to our own ends, but receive his grace for each day. You will never use it up so that you don't still have it. When you can't seem to let go of your anxious worrying, open the gift. Hear Jesus say, "Consider the birds of the air. Your Father in heaven feeds them. Do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows what you need." Let Jesus inspire you to trust in your heavenly Father's care for you, as he did. When you are so angry you could hit something, unwrap the gift. See Jesus in a hostile crowd of self-righteous people. Watch him love them by speaking the truth and willing them to repent and follow him. Hear him saying, "Love your enemies." And then see how he did it when they punished him unjustly, crucified him on the cross. Be like his mother Mary and treasure these things in your heart. Bring your situation to him in prayer and allow him to change your anger into forgiveness and peace. Maybe you are being mistreated. You may be right, but he'll show you a better way than violence, which always begets more violence. When you tend to want more than your share, not content with what you have, but wanting more, bigger, better, receive the gift. Hear Jesus say, "It is more joyful to give than to receive." Then try it. Practice generosity, maybe just a little, and see what happens. As God leads, donate to some organization that helps the poor. Let go of something. Put off buying the next thing you think you want and see if you can do without it. Trust God to provide. Is your pride puffing you up? Do you feel superior or disdainful towards others? Open the gift. Hear Jesus say, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over the people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And then, with God's help, find ways to serve others. You are not less valuable than they, but neither are you superior. Intentionally give your time and effort to build up someone else and see if God doesn't faithfully, although maybe slowly, repair your relationships as you become more humble. Are you chronically impatient, wanting others to catch up or keep up, or being so focused on something coming in the future that you miss the good that is here and now? Unwrap the gift. Slow down. Jesus came as a baby, and the world had to wait all those years until he grew up and began his ministry. Where he went, he walked. When he was called upon, he let himself be interrupted. When he saw the goodness of God, he gave thanks. He ate with people, enjoyed their parties, hugged their children. He wasn't in a hurry. Take his pace of life and his posture of being relaxed. Learn patience. Do you get the point? Take the gift. Spend time with Jesus. Read the gospel accounts of his life. Pay attention to his teaching and his manner. Think about it. Pray about it. Talk about it with friends or in your small group or Bible studies. Reflect on your life and ask for his life to grow more and more in you. God has given us the greatest gift, and he wants you to have it. I want to end with a quote from J. Edwin Hortell, who was a Bible professor. It's his musing on John 3:16, and it's kind of a comment on each word or short phrase of the verse. He says, God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest number, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whoever, the greatest invitation, believes, the greatest simplicity, in him, the greatest person, shall not perish, the greatest escape, but, the greatest difference, have, the greatest certainty, eternal life, the greatest destiny. May all of these greatest gifts be yours this Christmastide, but especially may Jesus, who is God with us, be in you and among all of us and growing in us as we believe in him. Amen.